this Louise?
Yeah.
Hi, Louise Nabros. Bob Adams calling. How are you?
Okay. I saw that you called but didn't leave a message, and I was going to...
No, I didn't leave a message. I've been a little apprehensive about doing so, so I'm glad that you picked up this time, and I hope I didn't get you at a terribly inconvenient time. Do you have a few moments to speak?
Sure. Yeah, I do.
I'm not sure if you don't.
I do.
I'm not sure if you remember me or not.
I went to your house once.
You went to my house once. What was it about?
Did I go to your house on French Road?
I think so. Maybe. What was it about?
When you were having problems with the Farish.
Oh, and the Farish and what they were developing and whether or not they were going to put a school in the backyard?
Or something, or that there was somebody living in the barn, or...
Well, there was somebody living in the barn, that's right, and we handled that. That's right. And so, do you remember that when we met, I handed you my jacket on Wednesday night?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good.
So, that was really nice of you.
I feel really bad about poor Marge, and I'm afraid, and I'll be honest with you, I'm afraid I'm being characterized as Marge.
I hope not.
I am very afraid of that. That's why I actually didn't really speak at the last meeting, because there's a time and a place, and the follow-up, I was very apprehensive, because what I really wanted to discuss was really actually on point with what both Marge and the other individuals,
right.
I don't remember their names.
I think that was smart, because when we got together afterwards at an executive session, Jason said, there sure is a full moon out tonight because of those two.
Exactly.
And in fact, several people talked to us and said, what was going on that night between those two ladies?
It was a very bizarre, between, you know, the award. It was very, I'll be honest, Louise, it was very surreal to me.
Yeah.
I mean, for me to walk in, I have been trying to, like, you know, fly under the radar for quite some time. And I walk in, and there's Joe Rohrbach. And, oh, and my dad and your dad were used to be constables together. And, oh, and Sandy Frank. Oh, and here's Karen Norris. And Mark Henderson. You know, Mark Henderson, you couldn't have picked up. I am mortified. There's no way I can say I can't believe this is. And he said to me, I can't stop you from your First Amendment rights. If you want to talk, you go right ahead and talk.
Mark said that.
And, yeah, Mark said that. Because earlier in the day, I got to talk to you, and I need an ally. And I don't know if you're an ally for me or not. I'll be honest with you. I'm very apprehensive. Anything I say to you at this point is all in the spirit of resolution and the ability for me to move on. And
okay.
I'm not sure. I think that at this point, I'll be honest, I don't know whether it not needs, I think it needs, I think this issue needs a maternal hand.
Okay.
It really does. It's become a little bit, and I'm reaching out to you specifically because of your title as Director of Commissioner of Public Safety.
Okay.
All right. I don't know whether or not, it's very uncomfortable for me to tell you the circumstances of my even attending that meeting. All right. My intent was not there. My intent was to come in and to voice a serious, serious concern that I have regarding personnel issues. And if you recall, Mr. Mele. Made very clear early on, before anybody spoke, that he wouldn't address anything to deal with personnel issues. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And how he really went to made a special effort about that. I think that was, I believe and I know that that was addressed towards me.
Mm.
Okay?
Okay.
And I feel really bad. Can't believe I have to throw myself on the sword, to be honest with you, Louise.
Who do you have a problem with personnel-wise?
Personnel-wise, is that you guys are going to be it's more of the same, and that they're going for. I am the victim of a felony in my home, and I was denied the ability to report it, not file a complaint, not pursue charge, just to simply report it.
Who told you could not report it?
And it's all on tape. And I met with Mr. Henderson in late December, only to learn, and I met with Mr. Henderson and Mr. Cathaldi after I had interviewed with, and again, I've been told this, and I'll play the tapes for you. Because Mr. Henderson took me out in the hall. He was like, I'm so sorry, and I owe you an apology. We obviously could have done things much, much better. And I'm saying, that's great, but at this point I want it in writing.
Uh-huh.
Because you're telling me this doesn't mean anything to me. And to know now that Mr. Henderson, I told him very clearly, you have a conflict of interest. You're moving on to the University of Rochester. I was sexually assaulted in my home by a doctor under my care, whose care I was. And I was refused the ability to file a complaint a year and a half ago. He has been proven in a court of law, not once, but twice, it's been proven not once, but twice, that I am true and factual, and that the evidence clearly shows that I was sexually assaulted by my physician, not only at the University of Rochester, but 2 weeks later at my home, that he stalked me and harassed me because my husband was deployed out of town. And I played an audio tape of my report attempting to report this to Lieutenant Desain.
Okay.
In September of 2015. And it's abysmal that because of the behavior and the treatment I've received prior to this assault and this felony, that I could not communicate with the Brighton Police Department and had to escalate it to the New York State Police Department, who had to conduct an investigation and ultimately take my report because a report was refused from me by the Brighton Police Department.
So what was their reason?
It was a cat fight.
Doesn't matter.
It was just, it's a guy on guy thing. We're not going to get involved. Uh-huh. I'm not going to, and you're right. And Mike Desain is on tape saying, Mark Henderson shit his pants. I'll be, excuse my French. When I played the tape for him, and Mike Desain is clearly saying, yes, you're right. If you called up, and I said to him, I was like, are you kidding me? If I called you up and told you that a ham sandwich ran into my mailbox, you would send a cop out and take a report. And he said, yes, we would. Because that's a crime. So when I call you up and tell you I was sexually assaulted in this doctor who I never knew, and I'll tell you the circumstances of that too, because I want you to be clear on it. And if I have to throw myself on the sword, Louise, you're gonna have to hear it. So I went, I didn't even make the appointment with this doctor. Early July, because I'm sick of, I have multiple other health issues.
Mm-hmm.
I was seeing a urologist who wanted me to get a second opinion, made the appointment for me with another specialist who's a doctor at the University of Rochester. I went, so I never even made the appointment. Never met the guy before in my life. I went to the appointment. I had a 6-minute appointment with the guy. During that 6-minute appointment, I was sexually assaulted. Within 2 hours afterwards, the doctor's calling my home. Just wanted to tell you I didn't spend enough time with you. Had a good time. Looking for, I guess this is your private line. I'm going to call you back. And it continued until 2 weeks later at 10 o'clock on a Friday, on August 14th of 2015, at 10 o'clock at night. And everything I tell you has been proven and true in a court of law, mind you. he came to my home and sexually assaulted me again. Leaving DNA evidence. Not only that, I had his, after that, within days afterwards, after my reporting him to the Rape Crisis Center and speaking with the Empire Pride, Empire Justice Center, because I cannot communicate with the Brighton Police Department at that point and report it as a crime because I do not have any trust or faith because of a previous incident that I can get justice.
Okay.
And it's abysmal that I have to call. I mean, and the only reason I communicated with Mike Desain is because, you know what, Louise? The guy who mows my lawn, the service I've hired for 10 years, one of the guys that mows my lawn is a retired mounted officer with the Rochester Police Department, and I reported it to him. And he was like, oh my God, all your evidence, you got to get it and keep it off site. And I'm going to look into somebody and I'm going to make some calls. And you know who you need to talk to? You need to talk to Mike Desain. He's a straight shooter. He's a good guy. He's going to look out for your best interests.
And did he?
No. Oh. He said that he could report a ham sandwich running into my mailbox. Think about it. And I said, I was like, are you kidding me? That means you're going to go out and look for two pieces of rye on Swiss? Yes, we will. And he says this clearly. But as far as this goes, this is a cat fight. This is something we're not going to get involved with. I've heard from the district attorney's office about this. I'm not going to take a report from you. I don't care if you pursue it or not. All I want to do is file a report. Because if another guy comes down next week, next month, 2 months from now, at least maybe you'll be able to connect the dots. I don't care what you have to say. I will not take a report from you.
Jeez.
So now you guys, and Mr. Cathaldi has told me on multiple occasions, I have a chip on my shoulder. I remind him of his father.
Cathaldi?
Yes, because there was a prior incident. This is during a prior incident. This goes back 3 years ago. When there was a police report filed, and I'll be happy to show it to you, actually, because it's so egregious, I actually had it framed, because it shows that somebody like me has no civil rights, because I've hurt somebody's feelings, I was not abusive in any way, whatever. Therefore, I've been characterized, and my relationship with my husband of 19 years was characterized as something dirty and something abaseful, and that I was a sexual predator. And that there's, you know, and when I took exception with this, and Mark Henderson apologized for that debacle, that, and I wanted to file a internal investigation report against Officer Mark Skidmore about his bias and how inappropriate this two-page report is. And it's not just one statement, it's a number of them, and how it's just, do I live in Alabama?
Mm-hmm.
And that somebody, because somebody, you know, again, it'd be like me calling up and saying, and Mark would agree. He's like, you're right. It's crazy. It's like you called up and said somebody hurt your feelings and somebody, an officer took a full report on this. Whatever you had to say is true. And that it's documented. And he's talking to the town attorney and they're trying to rescind a report. And they can't rescind a report. And it's going to stay out there. And I'm like, this is abysmal. And then years go later and I'm a sexually... No wonder I can't call the police. Who's going to show up when after I'm sexually assaulted at my home on French Road? Who am I going to call? How is this going to work out? I can't be trusted. There's somehow this doctor, whatever. You know what he would have done? And I'll tell you what would have happened. The police would have shown up. Doctor would have said, oh yeah, he called me up. I was calling back about their ultrasound results. He said he was going to commit suicide. So I raced over to his house. And he opened up the door and he had a knife. And you know what? He needs to be arrested under a mental health arrest. And I can do that because I'm a doctor. And he's under my care. And you know what the Brighton Police Department would have done? They would have arrested me.
Oh my God.
So that's not an option for me.
No.
I could have ran out of my house before the guy held me down and ejaculated into my face. And I could have ran out of that. Where am I going to go? You know a French Road. You know where I live.
Yeah.
Where am I going to be? This nutcase racing down. Maybe I'll get hit by a car. Running down the street in the middle of the night in the pitch black. How is that going to work out well for me? But I know for a fact because of Mr. Cathaldi, and I was like, went in and met with him and said, you know, this is from Mark Skidmore in this report, and you have a chip on your shoulder. You remind me of my dad. And I'm like, what does your father have? And when I'm in, are you kidding me? I'm talking about Karen Bernstein is the director of the JCC, and I'm talking to her, and my housekeeper heard the entire conversation. She had to shut her vacuum cleaner up. She heard the entire conversation. It was one telephone call. It lasted 6 minutes. She says to me, you're pissing me off. I know what to do about you. And the next thing I know, Mark Skidmore is calling me up and saying, and then walking through the place and taking reports from I don't know who about statements I may or may not have said about my husband, and that, you know, I don't really, the reason I don't work out with my husband at 7:30 in the morning is because he gets here at 6:30 and I come in at 7:30, and you know what, it's really none of nobody's business when I work out, and I appreciate that. You know what, it's because he turns me on too much. And now that's character, because you know how that was written in the report? Oh, he talked about his boyfriend and that his boyfriend gives him a hard-on when he comes in here.
That says that in the report?
That's what it says. And since I've not, you know, I mean, this is a consistent behavior of, and now Mike Cathaldi is one of the contendees, and he's going to be my new chief of police. When he tells me, I remind him of his father, who he obviously has psychological issues with and needs, like, you know, serious help with. And I'm like, what's going to happen? What is my future? Why am I paying tax dollars in this town? If I wanted to be protected by the Wayne County Police Department, I would live in Wayne County, Louise. Two-thirds of the police department is somehow affiliated with the Wayne County Police Department. In one way, in some way, shape, or form, whether it's a police department, whether it's the Marion, city of Marion. I do not live in the city of Wayne County. I live in the town of Brighton. There was a reason that I moved here, because of the democratic basis of it. I really have to examine whether or not I feel safe enough here, or I have to move because I cannot get justice in your town. And how am I going to follow up Marge and this other chick with the same statements? Do you appreciate that? And
yeah.
here's Mike Desane on audio tape telling me this. And you want to hear it? So now, at this point, I've left it, and that's why. Before the meeting, I'm going to bring you up to speed. So on Wednesday, I communicated and got the bums rush between, because I saw, let me back up. On Sunday afternoon at the William Warfield Foundation benefit concert, who, you know, of course, Louise Slaughter's a board member of.
Uh-huh.
Or not Louise Slaughter, Sandy Frankel's a board member. And Tom, and of course, Bill Maley, he's at every one of these functions. Because again, it's a small town, right, Louise?
Right.
And I'm part of this small town, so let's not forget that. Let's really not forget that. Let's not truncate me out to Marge right yet. But I'm afraid that that's going to happen to me. So I'm at the function. I'm representing the Warfield family. I'm sitting with the board of directors. There's an intermission. I walk up to Bill Maley, five or six seats behind, rows behind me. I don't know who he's attending with. And just let him know, we have some business, town business, that I'd like to address. I'll be contacting you within the next few days, and I expect to get together with you. Because at this point, I'm mortified that I've already gone in, I've met with Cathaldi, and I've met with Mark Henderson. They're blowing smoke up my ass, telling me that, you know, oh, we take our good consent. I'm like, well, then write it out. At this point, and you can come back next week and we can talk about, I don't want to come back and talk about this. This is not a bitch session. I don't need to come in and just keep bitching and talking about it and hearing your smoke story. So, I see Bill. I leave it at that. Maybe I go in, I meet with both of them. Oh, we're mortified, and Cathaldi's going to take it, saying he's the, you know, and I'm talking about, you know, and as soon as I bring up, you do know that under Bill Clinton's administration, when Janet Reno was the Attorney General of the United States, she set forth certain standards for internal investigations and how they should be conducted within departments, whether it be Brighton, whether or not it be Ferguson, Missouri, whether it be Orlando, Florida, whether it be wherever, Alabama, whatever it is, but all these specific, and they really did, and how if somebody complained and makes a report, and there's a reason that if somebody makes a report, whether or not it's signed or not signed, and I have a question. This is a point question for you, ma'am.
Okay.
As internal affairs goes, and your knowledge of internal affairs goes with the Brighton Police Department, is an internal affairs investigation only instituted with a signed complaint?
I don't know.
Because Mark Henderson clearly said that, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I've been in two, three times. I've met with you. I'm playing audio tape. I'm showing you evidence. It doesn't matter whether or not, I mean, that's what Jana Reno said. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it comes in anonymously. Because the point is if I was calling up Mark Henderson and saying, hey, I just saw Mark Skidmore down the street drag his wife out of the car by her hair, shove a gun in her mouth, broke four of her teeth, beat her over the head, tossed her in the trunk, and then drove away. And you know what? I just wanted to report it, but I want to do it anonymously. And that's my right. And that's enough to start an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree? And then it's logical, right? Would you agree? That's a logical reason. That's a reason logical. So whether or not so when I go in and meet with Captain Cathaldi about Mark Henderson or Mark Skidmore and this bold, you know, bogus, like, bias complaint, that's an investigation. That should have instituted an investigation.
Right.
Instead of trying to get me to make another statement. And we'll put, you make a statement and we'll add it to your other complaint. That doesn't have it. No, I'm not going to keep foddering and fanning the flames with bad information. You need to investigate it. You come up with your determinations. Same thing goes with being sexually assaulted and not being able to file a report. And am I reporting this? This is a serious felony. And whether or not there's a bias, and now you're an employee of the University of Rochester. And now anything I've discussed with you, how do I feel there's any kind of level of confidentiality? Oh, and I've been doing this, and oh, well, I don't take your word for it. I want it in writing. And I want an apology, and your apology means something, but you know what? I would have said that. I want an apology from the town. Sermansky, remember Karen Sermansky when she had to apologize?
Yep.
Right?
Right.
I want the same accommodation, and I want it public at this point, and I really do, and I think I deserve it. I really think I deserve it. I have proven in a court of law, not once, not twice, in two civil courts, as well as an administrative law hearing. Dr. Gareth Warren has already been in the Democrat and Chronicle about this, so it's not like this is old news. That was back in August. So when after all this, I have no suits filed against the town, there's no pending litigation, there's no open this or that, there's not even, apparently, an ongoing internal investigation has never been begun.
So you want...
Are you shocked? Didn't I ruin your night? I've ruined mine. This has been on my mind. This is why I hung up on you the other day. It's like, how am I going to talk to you? Can you handle it? I don't even know you as an individual enough, Louise, whether or not what I've told you, you can stomach.
I stomach. I can handle it. I don't know what to do about it. I mean, I don't want to.
You're worried what? You know what they're going to do? I'll tell you what they're going to do. You talk to Bill Maley about this, and you talk to the town attorney about it, and they're going to be like, oh, this and that, and there's litigation, and he can sue us, and so you guys can't help him. And and it's like these dogs, bated breath, and that's why I'm talking, saying it needs a maternal hand.
Right. But I just don't know if they're, I know they're going to blow me off. They're going to say, oh, that's just his side of it, or whatever, you know, they never...
I got the proof. You want to see, well, let's read the transcript in court of law. You want to hear the audio tape of Mike Desane? And subsequent conversations where he's hanging up on me and saying, you know, no, I'm not going to help you. I'm just, you know, you're an asshole and hanging up on me. You have a problem. You have a problem going on. You just call 911. Do not call me.
And like 911's not going to get you in touch with the Brighton Police Department?
No, apparently not. Apparently not, no. He gave me, this is all was supposed to be handled as quiet. Do you appreciate, Louise? I attempted to handle this as quietly as possible because of my reputation, because of everybody's reputation. I just needed to make sure that I was protected and that the town knew it. I need to be able to get a restraining order against this guy.
Right.
In order to do that, I have to have a police report somehow filed. I don't care if you freaking work on it or not. If you think I'm a Marge and I'm a loon job and you don't want to investigate it, that's fine. Let me file a report.
That's right. Who could I talk to that would listen to me?
I don't know. At this point, I'm meeting with Bill, and again, I'm waiting for Mark. So we walk into the meeting. Mark Henderson is well aware of the fact I insisted that I would expect a letter from him within the next week. He indicated to me that I should have it, and I thought I would have had it before I walked into the meeting. I thought he was going to type the letter up and that it was going to be there, and he was going to hand it to me in the hallway before I even walked in.
A letter of apology?
I don't care. A letter of acknowledgement. You came in. We're going to, like, do this. This is what you need to do about a restraining order. These are, you know, something. At least something that I can say, okay, you're taking it seriously enough. I can move past this. But
what?
I talked to him, and nothing. No. And he looked at me, and he shook his head. He was like, no. Very condescending. And no, I told you I was going to write a letter. Did you expect one? I was like, yeah, I kind of did. The impression you gave me was that I would expect one. Well, I haven't gotten one yet. And I'm like, okay, great. Well, I guess I'll just talk to during the open forum. That's within your civil rights. You can do whatever you want. And if you remember, when I took this podium, he slid his chair out and made a point of, like, really, it was very intimidating. And because he knows. I said, so I get to walk in and I can say, because it's a matter of legal, I can say, I was sexually assaulted by Dr. Gareth Warren on July 28th at the university and then at my home on French Road in Brighton by Dr. Gareth Warren. I tried to report it on this date and that date with Lieutenant Mike Desane, and now you're going to have, and I reported it to Lieutenant Cathaldi, and now all of a sudden you're going to go over and work at the University of Rochester, and I have nothing to say that, you know, any reports or anything has any confidentiality to it whatsoever, and how you're going to use and manipulate the system because the University of Rochester, you know what? Oh, and he's just the parking garage attendant, apparently. He's going to be in charge of transportation and this and that. You know what, Mark? Yeah, that's going to last all of like 2 months because they're going to work you into a new position for sure. Although, you don't think that they could find somebody with internally and pay him half the salary? Give me a break. I mean, is everybody, you think everybody in this world is as stupid as you think, you know, and you're going to believe just because you say it, it's true?
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, Jesus, that's why your brother calls you Moody, Mark. And again, oh, I'm sorry, it's a small town. Oh, yeah, did I tell you? And he doesn't know this, between you and me, Louise.
Okay.
He doesn't know. I'm talking to his brother at a cocktail party out in Farmington 6 months ago. And that's why I'm like, yeah, your brother thinks you're a moody little SOB. But I'm not going to bring it up because we got to keep this all professional. And that's what I'm trying to do. So when I come into you and I'm holding him accountable, oh, and I can't be responsible for what Mike is saying. And I'm like, yes, you can be. You're the chief of police. You are the reason I'm holding you accountable. And what's really abysmal, Mark, is that, and I'll be honest, Louise and Mark remembers me. When he was a captain, I called up and said, I want to be a school crossing guard. I'm thinking, I live here, I work out of my house, what a great gig for me. I'm like, you know, I'm a really good guy. I'm the firehouse background, all, you know. I would be an excellent candidate for, and he agreed with me 100%. He's like, yes, you would be. You'd totally have to be a school crossing guard. We'd love to have you as a school crossing guard. Thank God I never did. Thank God I never pursued that as a, like, you know, even as a, you know.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine how I would have, what that dynamic would have been. I've talked to Mark Henderson about diversity training and, you know, this whole Mark Henderson thing. And maybe there's a way that it can be get better. Do you really want to be known as, like, the Ferguson, Missouri Police Department? You guys are issuing, you're hiring a new fire. Apparently next week you guys are announcing a new police chief. And I don't even know who the candidates are. I pay a lot of money in this town, Louise.
Well.
Who are the candidates? I know Cathaldi's one of them. Who's the other one?
My mind just went blank.
Maybe you ought to hire, you know what? I have a suggestion. After, you know what I suggest is that, and I've made this, and I think it'll shit everybody, it shit Maley's pants and Arne Henderson's pants. I think you should announce an interim police chief while you consider a full-time police chief who may come out and be hired from without from outside the district. Because hiring from within, you're just asking for my, it's going to turn in, I'm telling you, there's somebody's going to, it's going to turn bad, Louise. Somebody's something, not just my, not me, but it's going to be some bad situation, some African-American, something, it's just going to be bad. And I see it.
Yeah.
Take it for what it's worth, because if I can't file a police report, think about it. Who am I?
That's right.
If a white, entitled rich guy can't do it, what happens to that little Latino whatever that Dr. Gareth Warren goes over to their house over in the, you know, over in the Greystone apartment complex or whatever? How's that going to play out? Yeah, I know. Oh, boy. I'm sorry. This is why I didn't talk. I'm like, I can't. I'm just like, it's going to take a lot of courage.
Yeah.
It's going to take a lot. And you, and it says in your bio that you're dedicated to the community and this and that. You're the director of public. You know what? I'm afraid that you're not going to be able to represent me to the degree that I'm going to need representation.
Well,
I don't think you got the stones. I'll be honest. I'm afraid.
I could do it, but
you should be taken seriously. You are a duly elected official in the town of Brighton.
That's right.
You are the commissioner of public works. You are now aware of, like, multiple civil rights abuses, as well as freedom of speech abuses, reporting abilities, sexual assaults, violent felonies, and it's your responsibility as a citizen. I'm supposed to be able to count on you. To be able to, like, you know, if you can't fix what's already happened, then you need to be able to protect the people that are going forward. And are you willing to do that? And I don't care whether, so there's a meeting on, so I'm supposed to, now it's on me apparently, to meet with Bill Maley and Mark Henderson on Monday, alone, with no, you know, and hear another song and dance. And you know what? I'm going to suggest to you that you be there at the meeting with me. I'll communicate to his secretary.
When is it?
On Monday. I think we're on for 10 o'clock on Monday morning.
Monday? You mean, no, not tomorrow.
No.
No.
Okay. No, today's Monday. Tomorrow's Tuesday. Next Monday. Because they wanted to meet this week, and I was like, no. Gary, my husband's coming. They wanted to meet on Thursday. I'm like, my husband flies in on Thursday. I really want to spend time with my husband. I haven't seen him in 3 weeks. And that's too bad. So I'm going to make myself available. And when it, and again, I'll play the tapes of my communications with Bill Maley's secretary, which is another cluster problem. Bill Maley's obviously listening in on the extension and directing her and hiding behind the skirts of his secretary. And it's abysmal that I'm having to communicate 10, 15, 20 minutes. And if this has anything to do with the police department, Bill Maley won't speak with you. Well, wait a minute. I have to talk to him about it.
Let me tell you just one thing. He wants a decision by the four of us as to who we want for police chief by this week. So
he can make the app, because I'm meeting with him on Monday. That's
so
too bad.
I would suggest to you that you call up and you have this meeting sooner than that.
Oh, no. Well, then you need to be there, and I want all the other board members there, too. I want an executive. Can we do an executive session? A private? Can we do that? Can you set that up? Are you ability to set that up so I can tell all these board members exactly what I just told you without it being on, without it being broadcast over television?
Probably.
Then I think you need to set that. You know what, Louise? I think when we hang up, you need to get on the phone and you need to make that happen. I agree. And both of the candidates should be there too. Both, whoever you guys are now planning on announcing, whoever's voting on this, I want all the board members, because I need to at least voice my concerns and let the town of Brighton do what they think is best from there on out. But you need to. I want that now. So when we hang up, I want you to get in touch with all the other board members and say, I just heard, and this is what's going on, and we need an executive decision on this. And I'll present all of my evidence, including all of my audio tapes and whatever else, and it can be done in a private executive session. And your town attorney can be there and be all worried about the fact that, you know what, we're on the hook. But I don't trust him for beans.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but at least you guys, all the rest of you guys that all have your hands tied and that are for lack of a better term, impotent in decisions and making sure that the town is safe and that all citizens are treated equally. At least you'll be able to make your decision with your eyes open, and hopefully, I don't think anything anything I have to say will make any difference. But you know what? You need to hear it. So I'll expect all five of you together. Today is Monday evening. Maybe tomorrow. Let's do it tomorrow then.
I'll see if I can do that so quickly, but I will get it.
Tomorrow, Wednesday, I don't know. It's got to happen before you guys make a decision. You better make sure that it happens before anybody makes a decision. Because
okay.
That's one of the first questions I'm going to ask is, did you already make a decision? Because if you've already made a decision, me talking about it and my civil rights and stuff, I may as well be talking to my real estate broker and trying to get the hell out of town.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm sorry I'm upset, but yeah, I am. And I have every reason to be.
I will be accepting as soon as I...
And I'll take your call at 6:30. I'll look forward to hearing from you anytime.
Bye.